9 and 12:30 online at BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. Not a bad day out there. We've seen plenty of sunshine. Still not as warm as we'd like it to be this time of year, but it does look like as we get towards Election Day tomorrow, could get some wet stuff. And to find out what to expect here early in the work week, we're joined again from weatherology.com by our meteorologist, Ray Miller. Ray, good Monday.
Well, good afternoon. As you mentioned, temperature is still a little on the cool side. We may get close to our average for this time of year yet this afternoon, though. Usual high around 48 degrees, and officially that's what we're calling for our afternoon high, but we're not there just yet. Winds out of the northwest at 5 to 15 miles an hour under mainly sunny skies. Tonight, cloudy with a low temperature of 30 degrees. Showers and storms. Tuesday, high of 40 with east winds up to 30 miles an hour. Chance of showers and thunderstorms on Wednesday as well with a high temperature of 52. Thursday, partly sunny, high around 36 degrees. Friday, sunny, warming up again, high of 44. Saturday, couple of showers, high of 56 degrees. Sunday, chance of rain with a high temperature of 61. In the Weatherology Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller.
Hey, it sounds like after a bit of a yo-yo during the middle to later portion of the week, temperature-wise, getting into the 50s and 60s by the end of the weekend. Chance to finally get rid of this snow, maybe?
I think we'll finally get, if not all of it, at least a pretty good chunk of it gone by the time we get to the weekend.
Terrific. Well, Ray, thanks again for the information, and we'll catch you again tomorrow.
I'll see you then. Take care.
And right now in Wausau at our studios on East Wausau Avenue, fair skies and a temperature of 49 degrees. Winds are out of the west at 13 miles per hour. Wind chill factor of 44. The dew point is 30. Relative humidity of 48%. The barometer at 29.78 inches and a visibility of 10 miles. The time is 3:09. I am Chad Holmes. It is the Chad Holmes Show here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 12:30. BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. Again, a reminder, tomorrow it is Election Day. Number one, make sure you get out and vote. Wouldn't it be great to have a major surprise instead of seeing 30% voter turnout or 32% voter turnout? You'll see an incredibly high number that breaks all records for an April election. There's no excuse why we should be happy with turnouts in the 30s. And in fact, if it was in the 30s, that's higher than it normally would be for this election, an off-year election, no presidential primaries. But again, it's so vitally important. In fact, here as we get to the final day of the campaign, you have former Justice Daniel Kelly going across the state, crisscrossing across the state today in a private jet, according to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, apparently owned by a family of anti-abortion advocates. So being bought and sold again is Dan Kelly as he goes for election. Unfortunately, Milwaukee County Circuit Judge Janet Protasiewicz is not on the campaign trail for the fifth consecutive day because of illness, forcing surrogates to fill in for her. Hopefully that is nothing serious, and hopefully it is not an issue here in the final days of the campaign not to have the candidate out on the campaign trail. Campaign officials said she has continued to test negative for COVID-19. A spokesman for the campaign says the judge was diagnosed with a respiratory infection over the weekend and is doing well. She'll return to the campaign trail tomorrow, including voting in person and attending her election night event with supporters. So again, unfortunately, Judge Janet not on the campaign trail today. And unfortunately, again, Dan Kelly taking gifts from the family of an anti-abortion advocates. A private jet owned by this anti-abortion family. Don't forget tomorrow night, make sure you tune in right here on Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230, bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Election night coverage, wall-to-wall election night coverage. The only place to get complete election night coverage is right here on Civic Media. We have myself in our WASA studio. We will have other reporters around the state of Wisconsin, and it should be incredibly informative and incredibly important. So, again, make sure you tune in tomorrow night. We are looking forward to giving you the best election night coverage in the state of Wisconsin by any media organization, and it's something that's very important to us. So, again, starts at 6 with an extra hour of the Devil's Advocates. At 7 o'clock, a special As Goes Wisconsin, and then polls close at 8, and our statewide network of reporters will be on the air from 8 o'clock until who knows when tomorrow evening. So hopefully you'll be able to join us. I will be focusing on some judicial races outside the state Supreme Court race, including a very interesting District 1 Court of Appeals race, which we'll have plenty to talk about tomorrow evening. Coming up next, we're going to continue to give you a chance to, again, listen to the candidates I've been able to talk to in the WASA school board election. In the last hour, it was Fred Thiele. Coming up next, we will hear the conversation I had with Jillian Bettino. And again, tomorrow, we'll hear the conversation I had with Lance Trollope. So again, some final thoughts here for you to take in before going to vote. So my conversation with school board candidate from WASA, Jillian Bettino, coming up next here on Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. Chad Holmes with you on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. The time is 3:15 here on Monday, the 3rd of April. Yep, tomorrow, April the 4th, Election Day. Full coverage on Civic Media. And again, we are giving you a final opportunity again to hear my conversations with the three WASA school board candidates that were able to come into our studio in the last hour. Heard from Fred Thiele. Also had a chance to talk to Jillian Bettino and Lance Trollope. We'll hear my conversation with the current board vice president, Lance Trollope, tomorrow in the first hour of the program. But right now, I'm going to hear the conversation I had with school board candidate Jillian Bettino. Jillian, first of all, thank you for coming on over.
Oh, yeah. Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
Absolutely. To begin with, before we talk about any issues, let's talk about the background, because one of the interesting things about, and I was talking to you just off the air about, you know, government, you know, about representative government in our area, in our state, in our country. And it's wonderful to see people with different backgrounds that get involved. And I was looking at your background. Could you talk a little bit about your background? Because you've had some very interesting experiences, haven't you?
Yeah, of course, everybody has. So I've been in WASA since 2005, came via Ohio, Midwest, born and educated, but we found our home here. It was the ski hill that attracted us as we passed it through for a completely different job interview. We kind of pulled over and was like, can we figure out a way to work in WASA? My husband, Ben, is a urologist and I'm a radiologist. We have 6 kids. Mm-hmm. They are age 27 to 17. And our youngest 2 boys are juniors, a junior and a senior at WASA West. I've been in the WASA area practicing medicine. I'm a breast cancer specialist, so basically, you know, detecting breast cancer and helping to manage it from a radiology perspective. But my passion for education comes from a variety of places. So my mom and my dad and my stepdad and my father-in-law, my sister and myself have all had the opportunity to work as educators. I think that growing up, my teachers were just pivotal, just very centered to how I made my decisions and you know, ultimately what I decided to do with my life. So about 10 years ago, I started working with a nonprofit organization, which is called RAD Aid, you know, Radiology Aid. Mm-hmm. And we work globally to build educational infrastructure in lower middle income countries. Mm-hmm. And so I was working with the World Health Organization in Georgetown, Guyana, in South America. And we were asked to build a radiology residency. So I was the director of that. And we built it from the ground up. You know, the Department of Radiology barely existed. There was no curriculum. Mm-hmm. And at the end of 7 years, we had graduated our first class. They had master's degrees from the University of Guyana and were the very first ever radiologist in the country. I believe that, you know, that it's just very exciting to advocate, to give people a fair shot at the things that should be available for everybody and just are not, because life is hard. So that's kind of where I've gotten my fun from.
It's interesting that you talk about your six children and going through the Wausau School District. I imagine all of them went through the
year? Yeah, all of them.
And you're now getting to the fifth and the sixth. They're just finishing up their high school careers here in the next year or two.
Yeah.
Why deciding now that, with your kids that are finishing up their experiences in the Wausau School District, that now you have decided that you'd like to become a member of the Wausau School Board? What led to your decision to take this plunge? Because obviously this is a very volatile time in terms of a lot of important issues in front of the board. What made you decide, well, I've been around it and now it's time for me to take that leap?
Well, so I guess part of it is just life, right? So for the first 10 years of my career, I was working 70 or 80 or whatever hours a week, taking lots of call and that sort of thing. And I have slowed down. I work part-time now, so I actually have time to do things that I'm passionate about. And I think another thing, I mean, you referred to volatility, and certainly my kids have had a wonderful experience at Statine and at John Muir and at Wausau West, but it could have been better. There are things that we could have done better for the kids, not only for my kids, but for all the kids. And I think that some of the things that were challenging during that time were things that I was working on elsewhere, and I kind of had this epiphany that the skills and the tools that I had developed at work and, you know, working abroad and building educational programs and just being, not just, but being a mom were really a unique set of skills that could really add to this board at this moment.
Again, we're talking to a Jillian Bettino. It is Jillian, right?
It's Jillian.
Okay.
Yeah.
I should have asked you before we went on the air, but Wausau School District, Wausau School Board candidate. Of course, the election coming up on April the 4th. There will be five candidates on the ballot for three slots on the Wausau School Board. You obviously said it just a moment ago that you've seen things over the years in terms of things that either, you know, could be better or could be changed in some way. I'm going to kind of make it more of an umbrella statement, because along with what you've seen and what you know is going on right now, what are the biggest issues that you feel like you could make a difference on the board?
So, I mean, the restructuring is, I think, front and center on anybody's conversation right now. But I see the restructuring, if you want to call it that. I don't necessarily know that that's going to be the final solution. But the changes that we're facing and the conversation we're having right now as a really important opportunity to have some conversations about things that have not taken center stage. And I think that the students and their families have suffered for it. So one of those things is definitely mental health. The kids, their families, our teachers certainly have experienced extraordinary, unprecedented stress from COVID, from political stuff, and actually political COVID stuff, where I think there was a lot of division, there was a lack of preparedness. And, you know, right now, as we're discussing all of these impending changes and those opportunities to do things better, I hope that's the goal behind the mm-hmm. discussions. I think it's a time to also talk about making sure our kids have adequate mental health support, that we're screening our kids, that we're taking care of our teachers, that we're attracting and retaining teachers who have the training available to them to help our kids kind of be as resilient as they need to be in these days and after COVID.
Let me ask you, because obviously with children in the district over the last, and right now we're basically 3-year anniversary of when we shut down back mm-hmm. in 2020, in March of 2020. You've seen your children. I'm sure you've seen friends of your children, families that you deal with within the Wausau West and the John Muir communities over the last few years. How difficult has the last 3 years been, especially the first year and a half, 2 years, where there were so many different issues and a lot of pushback, I think, in terms of what was being done and what was trying to be accomplished. And then in addition, just it's never easy to go through, you know, junior high and then high school and to stay on top of things, to be ready for the next steps as well. As you take a step back over the last 3 years, what have you found out? What did you see during these last 3 years?
Well, I think, you know, at the time going through it, that everybody was in survival mode. You know, we were all worried about protecting, you know, immediately when it was recognized that there was a dangerous infectious disease, you know, going around, that we had an actual pandemic, that the first big one that we really needed to be worried about in 100 years or in generations. Mm-hmm. I think that people were panicking about, you know, just the surviving, making sure they had their kids protected, their families protected, you know, toilet paper. I mean, you know, we all remember that.
Yeah.
And I think that kind of stole the, you know, the stage, and that we kind of missed out on other things that were happening. You know, kids being isolated and from their friends and separated from their teachers, the learning losses that occurred, you know, for kids that are maybe introverts or a little more shy, mm-hmm. Just learning to look another person in the face again, having a conversation without a mask on, being, you know, concerned about just friend groups and all of the things, so much happening online, bullying online. I feel like that all kind of exploded, and it took a little while to actually recognize some of those true challenges. Kids are amazing and resilient and tough, and I really think our kids should be applauded for that. Our teachers should be applauded. But we also need to stop and recognize that there's some work to do now to repair it.
I'm going to ask you about, you know, the headline issue of the consolidation coming up in a few minutes. But staying on mental health, as we look from this point, March of 2023 forward, and assuming that you're able to become a Wausau School Board member in the election in April, what are some of the ideas? What are the things that you've seen that you would like to see maybe either done differently or that would be important to do for the mental health aspect for kids in the Wausau School District?
I think that we have an opportunity, as we're, you know, talking about rebuilding and restructuring, to do a couple of really interesting things. One of them would be a regular check-in with students of all grades, and it had to be obviously age appropriate. What you do for a kindergartner isn't going to work for a, you know, a junior in high school, but some method of giving students a mechanism of asking for help or reporting if they have a problem. And I think that those problems can range from things like food insecurity. You know, we have booming, that's not the right word, we have horrible poverty evolving in our country, and Wausau's no exception to that. Mm-hmm. Making sure that kids have food to eat, making sure that they're safe at home, making sure that they're not getting bullied in person or online, you know, issues with school violence. There's an opportunity to create some kind of a norm, where kids are used to having the interface where they can say, I'm worried about something. So I would like to do that in some kind of digital way, and then focus more of our funding and our resources on mental health capacity and services at our schools.
We have to take a quick break for a news update, but we'll come back and kind of delve into, because I just with your language, I see that maybe you're looking at the consolidation maybe in a different kind of way than maybe some others have been looking at it. I'm kind of going to pick at that a little bit when we come back, but we're going to take a news update. We'll find out what's going on around the country and around the world with CBS, and then we'll also have a civic media news update from our headquarters in Madison. But we'll come back, have more with Wausau School Board candidate Jillian Bettino coming up. More to come here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and of course on the Civic Media app.
To make ends meet, keeps a man up on his feet, holding down his.
And welcome back. Chad Holmes with you here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. We're talking to Jillian Bettino, who is on the ballot with four others for three seats on the Wausau School Board. And we were talking in the break. You're used to these campaigns, but this is a little different because this is a very narrow Wausau School Board. You've run a couple of statewide campaigns, and what do you take away from those campaigns that maybe you're using in this, or maybe is there not really much that you can use in a campaign in a community as opposed to a statewide campaign?
Well, I mean, everything. It was such a valuable experience, and I think the number one thing that really stood out to me changing from a state to a local campaign was the incredible importance and direct impact of the school boards everywhere I went. So the school boards are making decisions that affected everyone right now, immediately after a decision was made at a school board level, whether it was masking or unmasking or getting kids back in school or nutritional services, mm-hmm. and you know, all these things that were really, really high impact, important things, and that people were very passionate about.
I'd like to talk to you about a few of the other issues with statewide, but we'll kind of save that because I want to get back into these issues on the Wausau School Board. And of course, the consolidation issue has been front and center now since last summer in terms of when the committee started meeting. I'm just going to throw it out there. What are your thoughts on this issue in terms of how it's developed over the months, where we stand today, but where we're going in the future? I'm going to kind of open it up for you to speak to the voters on that issue.
So I had the opportunity this summer to attend a subcommittee meeting. Uh-huh. And just sitting through the meeting, not saying much and listening to all the conversation throughout the meeting, my take was that there was a lot being withheld from the conversation. And I felt like perhaps the overt goals of responding to the fact that we have a decreasing population, we need to be fiscally responsible with our dollars. We want the dollars to count. We don't want to be having, facilities that are not being optimally utilized because of small classroom sizes that we're, having to pay all of that money. It's not going towards optimizing our kids' education. That sounded all smart and fair. There were two things that really got me thinking, what is going on here? One of them was that athletics was very highly represented in the room. And there seemed to be a lot of focus on an athletic facility and having an excellent athletic team. And I understand that. All of my kids have done sports. My girls were all WASA West Warrior cross country runners, and I was that screaming mom on the sideline. And my boys are all soccer players and, all varsity soccer players, and they had great seasons at WASA West, and hopefully we've got a couple more, one more anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand the importance and value of sports, and I love winning, just like everybody else. Love it, love it, love it when we win. But I think we are misled if we believe that the value in high school sports is winning. You know, being a WIAA championship team, mm-hmm. is that where the value is for the school and the most kids? Or is it that as many kids as possible get to play for their school? And so that's what I believe is the mistake, that in the consolidation, we will lose more than we gain with sports. And that seemed to be, a big push. You know, let's talk about sports. Let's talk about getting these kids, the best kids from East and West. We're going to have this awesome team. So that I really stuck out because I didn't hear from an art teacher. I didn't hear from a music teacher. And I didn't hear from, academics, except for one engineering guy who definitely had some good things to say. The other thing that really stuck out was that they kept saying that there wasn't a plan. So we didn't have a plan. There were ideas. They were, working on some various plans, but they didn't have a plan. And yet they presented something that was fairly, detailed, but it wasn't the plan. That was emphasized over and over again. And so afterwards, when people asked me, well, what's the plan? I would say, well, they don't have a plan. And then not too long after that, a plan was released on, Friday at 5 p.m. that was to be discussed on Monday. I was offered an opportunity to speak at that as a subcommittee attendee. And I wanted to do that. And I kept asking for the plan. I have to see the plan before I can speak on it. And, I ended up doing that on Saturday and Sunday because it was released so late.
Uh-huh.
That, to me, is a lack of transparency. To say that we do not have a plan and then, to not really give folks enough time to ask questions and understand it before deciding to vote or not vote. And then also, at the same time, to literally have a blueprint plan of a multi-million dollar sports complex, that really gave me pause and concern.
Let me ask you maybe a kind of different way of putting it. I've heard a lot about, the transparency issue and the process. And I think process is vitally important in any aspect of life in order to get to the right, the right outcome. How much do you get concerned about the process and then what they did put out? In terms of what they put out, do you feel like the ultimate plan is not in the right, is not something we should be pursuing? Or is there, because I think there, again, maybe I'm mistaken on this, but I think a lot of people really are upset in terms of not hearing about it maybe in a timely way or not having the information in a timely way. But at the same time, when you look at what the ultimate plan is, what are your thoughts on that? Are you pro for this plan? Are you against this plan? Or are you still putting it together?
So both of those questions are tied together for me.
Okay.
So in my background, a lot of my work has been done with building educational infrastructure and curricula. Mm-hmm. And that is done through something called basically community participation. And you can't effectively answer a call or a need without understanding it fully. And the people who understand it fully are those who are living it.
Mm-hmm.
I do believe that the school district made an effort. I don't know that it was highly inadequate, but I think they did make an effort to involve community members. There were representative community members at those subcommittee meetings, but it wasn't enough. And so the plan that they've developed can't be good enough for the community and the taxpayers and the voters and the kids if it isn't driven by them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a perfect example of that is if we look at the 5 schools of the 13 that are earmarked to be closed, they predominantly serve families that are socioeconomically disadvantaged. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not, I don't think that the board said, well, you know, let's target this group of people. But the outcome of whatever criteria they used has, you know, by design is faulty, because you cannot target a group of people for a detrimental change without stopping to question it or figuring out how you're going to offset it. So the mistake is that it's too much too fast. Mm-hmm. So if I were doing this myself and I you know, had all the hocus pocus in my hands, then what I would do is engage heavily with a small group of people with one or two elementary schools and start talking about a pilot program. Mm. I think that would reveal a lot of the challenges and would help us not create a disaster.
So there are, basically, you would agree there are issues that need to be addressed, but the way it's been gone about is not the way that you personally would have gone, and that by not taking the public by the hand, it makes it for a more difficult process as we move forward. Would that be fair to say?
I think that's fair, and I would suggest even a failure. I think it's going to fail. And this has already happened in Wausau, right? In the 90s, there was an effort to do a big busing thing. Does that sound familiar to anyone? A big busing thing again. And it was not supported by the community. The school board pushed it through, and ultimately it failed. Our school board was recalled. And I think that's what will happen. If we are not listening to the people who are voting for the school board members and we're not serving them in a fair way, then that's what happens.
Let me play devil's advocate for a moment, because last night there was a rather... Did you watch the board meeting last night by any chance?
I did not. I had my little brother with me.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. But there was an interesting discussion, and I actually watched it before you came in this afternoon, because wasn't able to see it last night either. Mm-hmm. And talking about the potential of the non-binding referendum. And part of the discussion was about the board being elected to represent the people, but also to be able to make some tough decisions. That sometimes some tough decisions that may not be all that popular need to be made. Could I ask you about your viewpoints on a board member representing people within the community? How do you look about that? Do you feel like you have to have a majority of the people that you are representing behind something, or do you feel like as a member that gets, I would think, more information. You, as a board member, you get all the information that sometimes you may be put into a position to vote for something that may not be popular within the community itself. Or is it, and to add another caveat to this, that it's part of the job for you to be able to explain to your constituents when something that may at first glance be something they wouldn't support, that is still the right thing to do? I know there's a lot on that but I think it's interesting in terms of somebody that's be part of that board, what their viewpoint is on that position.
Well, so our board is, at large members.
Mm-hmm.
So we do not geographically or otherwise directly represent groups of people. It has to be the onus and the initiative of the board member to connect with people if they really want to represent people. And clearly that's not
within the whole community.
Exactly. And that's not happened. Or we wouldn't have, I don't know how many people ended up signing the request for the referendum, but the petition was signed by an awful lot of upset people. And I think that's an indication that they do not feel represented. I think that board members do sometimes make difficult decisions, and maybe those are smaller decisions about expulsions, about snow days, those sorts of things. Mm-hmm. But if you are talking about restructuring an entire community's educational system, busing kids around, shutting down schools, removing some opportunities and perhaps replacing some other opportunities, you absolutely do need to have the support of the community. And the non-binding referendum is a perfect opportunity, in my opinion, to do a better job at beginning the conversation with the community, because they'll see it on the ballot and hopefully read about it. Really, people are busy. People are busy working, and a lot of folks are unaware. I've talked to teachers that didn't feel you know, comfortable expressing their opinions. They felt that they were hushed at faculty meetings and that sort of thing. So I don't think that the freedom of speech part has been respected here, and that all of the opinions are going out. And ultimately, if the community does not feel heard, the board will be removed and we'll have a whole lot of wasted money and time.
You got a few more minutes?
I do.
All right. We got to take one more quick time out, and then we'll come back and talk for a few more minutes to Jillian Patino. And there are obviously more issues that we can discuss besides the very important consolidation issue as well. Back with more here in just a few moments. I'm Chad Holmes, Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. Online at bowfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO. Chad Holmes with you here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bowfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Again, we're talking to Wausau School District candidate, Wausau School Board candidate, Jillian Patino. And I guess I'm going to bring it up. You brought it up in the last break when I was asking you about, you know, the role for these school board members and in terms of representing the folks. You were involved in an ethics complaint with members of the board. Could you explain your thinking again about the idea of representation and also the idea that perhaps rules were broken to get on that board?
Yeah. So, you know, you're mentioning before, you know, are people who are elected, are they being asked by a community to make hard decisions for them? And I think that is true. As I said before, I think that's true. Sometimes there are difficult decisions, but when it comes to larger things like the referendum, that really needs to be community-driven, not just board-driven. And, you know, part of the assumption of that question is that the elections are fairly run. And obviously right now in our country and in our history with January 6th, there's a lot of talk about fair elections. There's a lot of focus placed on making sure that we have fair elections. And some of that comes down to campaign finance law. And so I find campaign finance law to be very important, and I'm passionate about it, and I make sure that I follow it. So when I decided to run for school board, I thought, well, okay, these groups have won over the past couple of years. We've had groups of people running together, and they've won. And I just assumed that it was legal because it happened 2 years in a row, and I figured, okay, well, obviously it's right out there for everybody to see. It must be legal. And I had met Fred Thiele, who's very progressive thinker, wonderful school teacher, wonderful background in history. And I thought, well, if I was going to run as a, quote, slate with somebody, then that would be the person. But I didn't feel easy about it. I didn't feel comfortable because I knew that I and my other races couldn't just share money with people. You know, you have to report things. And so I called the Wisconsin Ethics Commission, and about two sentences into the conversation, the guy shut me down. I said, "Hi, this is Jillian Patino. I'm calling from Wausau. I want to know about running as a slate for the Wausau School District." And he said, "Stop right there. You cannot run as a slate. The only people in the state of Wisconsin who can run as a slate are the governor and the lieutenant governor in the general election and the vice president and the president. When you run as a slate, you share campaign finances, and you cannot do that. So he sent me some information. The Ethics Commission had published an article and an opinion. They had shared it with the Wisconsin Association of School Boards. And it turned out that the last three winners ran as a slate, and they shared campaign finances that tremendously exceeded what is allowed by the law. And I wanted to make sure that that stopped. I want fair elections. Fred and I, there's no law that says you can't share a slogan. Mm-hmm. There's no law that says that you can't share a billboard or a sign or colors or fonts or whatever have you. But there is a law on how much you can share. Mm. You cannot spend more than the campaign contribution limit, which is about $1,000 in this school district.
When you put in the ethics complaint, where do you stand with that right now? Because obviously it's still an issue, and it would be an issue, I would imagine, if you win on April 4th. Where does that stand?
Well, so they have meetings, I believe, every quarterly. And
seems like you could do a little bit better than that, couldn't you? Kind of important, you know.
One would think. But so I filed the complaint. I got a response within about 45 minutes that my complaint was going to be pursued. And then I was told that it would be heard in February. They anticipated that it would be heard in February at their meeting. And then after the February meeting, they told me that they decided to wait until May. Now, if I was trying to do the right thing, I would also wait until May, because I wouldn't want a mistake of a prior group of people to affect a current election. So I actually respect that. My hope is that, the other two of the other candidates have already announced that they're running as a slate and apparently have named, things with their names on it together. My hope is that they will do the same as Fred and I, which is to respect the campaign finance law and the campaign contribution limits.
Again, talking to Jillian Bettino, Wausau School Board candidate here on Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. We got about 2.5 minutes left. And as I hate to put in 2.5 minutes, but we talked a lot about one big issue. What are other issues that folks here in Wausau should know about that you are looking towards working on should you be elected on April 4th?
Well, I think that we need to face some of the maybe the sneakier issues that are coming up in school boards across our state and across the country. And I think that some of that has to do with protecting fact-based history teaching, making sure that our teachers can teach accurate reflection of history, including the issues of slavery in this country, civil rights movement, the Holocaust, science-based and fact-based health education and sex education. I want to make sure that we are creating a healthy space for people to talk as young adults about the realities of our world, everything from, climate change and the solutions to it, to treating one another with dignity and respect. And, we have a very wonderful, diverse community, and it's going to continue to grow that way. And I want to make sure that, people and kids from this community can be part of the collaborative future that I envision. And that's what brings innovation and technology mm-hmm. and all of the good stuff. So I want to be at the table for that conversation.
And finally, for folks that may want to find out more, do you have any web presence or where information can be found for folks looking to vote on April 4th?
Yeah, there's a Facebook page. It's Jillian Bettino for Wausau Kids.
Jillian Bettino, one of the candidates, able to join us here in our studio during the run-up to Election Day tomorrow. And it is tomorrow, Election Day. We heard from two of the candidates that stopped by. We'll hear from the third candidate who stopped by, Board Vice President Lance Trollope, tomorrow. Again, want to give every opportunity for you to be an informed voter, but make sure you are a voter tomorrow. If you haven't voted early, vote tomorrow on Election Day, and then make sure you tune in. We will be providing wall-to-wall coverage here on Bull Falls Radio and Civic Media tomorrow night. Looking forward to that. Have yourselves a great rest of your Monday. Stick around. Lots more to come about Election Day with Mike and Dom and the Devil's Advocates coming up next. I'm Chad Holmes on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230.